good to be with you again this Lord's Day evening. And I invite you to turn with me first to an Old Testament background passage in Isaiah 11. I'm going to read Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. Then we'll turn to our primary passage today in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. The last time I was here, in considering Luke, we looked at Luke's big picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ from Luke 3 and the beginning of Luke 4. And we saw how Jesus was the second Adam, the second representative who had come to restore what the first Adam lost, and how Jesus had come to restore us to a better paradise which could not be lost. And today from Luke chapter 4 through 13, we want to consider enter the wilderness that Charlie Kirk left behind with Jesus and his word. So first, the background passage from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Let's hear the word of God. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And that Isaiah's prophecy 700 years predicting the coming on the scene of our warrior, the Lord Jesus, of whom we read Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. Thus far God's word. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but this, the word of our God, does endure forever. Let's seek his blessing upon our time in the word in prayer. O Lord God, you who have spoken through Isaiah, telling of the Savior to come. O Lord God, you who have breathed this word through the gospel writer Luke to tell of the Savior who has come. by that same word and spirit work in us today. We know that you are jealous that we live in purity and in simplicity as your bride. You don't want us to be deceived as was Eve of old. So Lord in heaven, come now with the sword of the Spirit, which comes from your mouth. Come, O Lord in heaven, to conquer and strengthen our hearts. In Jesus, our risen Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. My cousin's first child, Bernie, was born on a strawbridge, on a drawbridge in Maine. Drawbridge went up. Police had to come and deliver the baby. Bernie got leukemia at a very young age, and I think died at around the age of 5 or 6. Bernie was once asked, "Bernie, what do you think the most powerful thing in the world is?" And he said, "It's not bombs, because they can only destroy, kill. But I think it's this little book, because this little book tells us how we can have eternal life." Well, it's powerful enough, this word is, to comfort you after heartache. It's powerful enough to help you stand. It was powerful enough to help Jesus stand when he was led away into the wilderness. In verses 1 through 4, we see that Jesus has the devil's number. Jesus knows the devil is a murderer from the beginning. The devil wanted Adam's, he wanted mankind's death, and the same devil wants your death. As Charlie Kirk's assassin put it, well, you know, there's some viewpoints which he did not like, and therefore he said, quote, "They can't be negotiated." And so he thought it was right to murder the one he could not agree with. And this was a strategy straight out of the Marxist atheist playbook, as Joseph Stalin, who was responsible for the death of some 60 million people, said, "Death solves all problems. No man, no problem." Well, this same devil behind such murderous thoughts is the devil who wants your eternal spiritual death. And therefore he deceives you to not trust the eternal living God. In the Garden of Eden, what did he do? He said, "Did God really say? Did God really say? You shouldn't eat of all those trees." Jesus, if you're the Son of God, he comes to Jesus, see, with the same doubt, encouraging doubt unto death. If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus, did your father really say at your baptism, "You're my beloved son, and you I'm well pleased"? Did he really say you were his son? Well, Jesus responds and answers him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Man shall not live on bread alone. You're more than just a body who needs physical bread. Jesus didn't zap the devil with magic, but he counterpunches the lies with truth. "It is written," he's quoting from Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, where Moses writes this, saying, God humbled you, speaking to Israel, God humbled you, and he let you be hungry. He was testing you there in the wilderness, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that bread from heaven. And he fed you with something that you hadn't experienced before, that he might make you understand that man does not live on bread alone, but man lives by everything, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, which refers to a time when Israel was in the wilderness. And they wanted to turn back to Egypt rather than look to God for providing for them where they were in the wilderness. And so God says, I led you into the wilderness where there were no grocery stores, no Dollar Generals, no parts. There were no grocery stores there. And I led you into that wilderness to teach you to trust me, the Lord, trust my promises, my provision for your body and your soul. What was Jesus' authority? Well, he's quoting from the Bible. He's quoting Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. He's quoting from a book written by Moses. And that is his final authority. Now, did Jesus say you can pick and choose? You know, I like this. The culture really doesn't want me to leave that. Pick and choose, is that what Jesus says? No. He says, as Matthew indicates in the parallel passage, giving the fuller quote of Jesus to the devil, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The full quote of Deuteronomy 8:3. Man should live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. As Paul later wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching. It's profitable for correction, for making you go in the orthodox straight way. It's profitable for training us in righteousness that we might be equipped for every good work. All scripture. And all scripture pointed to who? All scripture pointed to the Lord Jesus himself. At the end of his gospel, Luke records Jesus after the resurrection conversing with his disciples. And he says to them, don't you know that all scriptures in Moses, in the books of the history, in the prophets, in the Psalms, the poetry books, all of that pointed to me explaining ahead of time that I would die and that I would rise again. All scripture points to me, written to testify of me. Some say, if only I could see the risen Jesus here and now, today, on earth, right now, then I think I could believe. But what did Jesus himself say in Luke 16:31? He said, if you don't believe on the basis of Moses and the prophets, if you don't believe on the basis of the word of God, the full testimony there, neither would you believe if someone rose again from the dead and stood right in front of you, risen from the dead. You see, the word of God is sufficient to condemn you if you don't believe. It's also sufficient to save you when you do believe. Jesus himself said in John 6, verse 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. That manna that came down from heaven as God's provision was offered to me, the living bread, come down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, anyone takes this bread, if anybody takes me to themselves by faith, he will I give for the life of the world is my flesh. I would lay down my life that my people might live. But Satan still doesn't give up, does he? He wants to give you an excuse to take the easy way out. He comes saying, you know, if you avoid all pain, that's when you're really living. So take some shortcuts to get what you want. Verses 5 through 7. He comes and he says, in Luke 4, beginning with verse 5, he led Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a split moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours. You know, see, he's following the same tactic as he used in the Garden of Eden, isn't he? There he was saying to Eve, if you obey me, you'll have a shortcut to wisdom. You'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. Just obey me, Eve. And now here he says, if you obey me, Jesus, you'll have a shortcut to the kingdoms of the world. The devil comes to you too. You can have glory now. You can be liked by more people now. You can be more successful. You can have more stuff now. If only you cheat a little, if you only put the Lord on the back burner a little, if you just lay low when you should speak up a little, if you only put yourself on the throne a little more, then it'll be better for you. Dr. Scott Peck was a graduate of Harvard University and of Case Western Medical School over across the border in Ohio. And he became the assistant chief of psychiatry for the United States Army for 9 years and then set up clinical practice in Connecticut. And he became convinced that psychiatry needed to take the reality of evil more seriously. And he observed that from his perspective, some people were possessed by evil, the symptoms of which was absolute self-centeredness, living and thinking only of themselves. And he gave as an example a woman by the name of Charlene. So he said to Charlene, you were brought up in the Christian church. You must be aware of what Christians say is the meaning and purpose of human existence. And Charlene responded flatly, we exist for the glory of God. And then she burst out, I can't do that. There's no room for me in that. That would be my death. And then she began to roar, I don't want to live for God. I will not. I want to live for me, for my own sake. And that's what the devil tempts you with. Live for your own sake. Live autonomously. Live, but put yourself on the throne. Use your power. Use your position. Use your life to get what you want. Let your mind run wild, Jesus. What do you want, Jesus? Do you want wealth? You want power? Do you want kingdoms? Well, you can have it. Oh, Jesus, you say what you want most is that at your name every knee would bow and give you glory? Well, Jesus, there's an easy way to that glory. You can have it now. Just bow to me. Now, Jesus doesn't dilly-dally, does he? He answers that direct challenge with a direct answer, verse 8. It is written, in Deuteronomy again, verse chapter 6, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus didn't allow himself to indulge in self-pity over the hard road to the cross. He didn't allow himself to feel sorry for himself and therefore be tempted to take a less painful way, the way of compromise. Jesus instead sacrifices his immediate short-term comfort out of obedience to his Father's will and out of his love for sinners like you and me. Willing to go, not the shortcut, but the long cut to the cross to redeem us. What a powerful temptation this is. Lord, your way seems hard. I know you don't want me to lose my sanity under all the pressure I'm under, so I'll give in. Or when Satan whispers to you, his way is easier, and God's way may be the way of suffering or death. Ah, but then the choice is plain. The Lord said through Moses, you shall worship only the Lord your God and serve him. But Satan still doesn't give up. Jesus, you quote the Bible, I can quote it too. Verse 9, Satan, the devil, led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And the pinnacle of the temple was over the Kidron Valley. So a high point. And he says to him, looking down, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. I'm going to quote Psalm 91 to you, Jesus. It's written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus, take a 500-foot leap of faith. Go ahead. Go ahead. Play in traffic. Play with fire. You won't get burned. Surf the internet for porn. Be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Have close fellowship with darkness. Play with weed. Hey, it's legal now. Do whatever you feel like. God said he'll protect you. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, again quoting the book of Deuteronomy, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus, here in the wilderness, with the devil being tempted by him, quotes God's word to Israel in the wilderness. When Israel was in the wilderness at Massa, they ran out of water. And they tested God. And they said, if the Lord is with us, he will give us water. They were testing God as Satan is testing Jesus here. If God's word is true, he'll catch you if you jump. But Jesus says, it is said. That's a perfect passive. It was said in the past with a continuing effect now. It was said, and it's still being said, and it will always be said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, Jesus could have added, devil, you're misquoting the Bible. You're misquoting Psalm 91. You left out an important part, conveniently, where Psalm 91 says, the Lord will guard you in all your ways as you abide in him, as you trust in him, as you love him, and then he will set you on high securely out of the reach of danger. And if you read the parallel passage in Matthew 4, that's what happened. When did the angels come? Not when Jesus took the 500-foot leap, but at the end of this temptation, Matthew 4, verse 11, then, after the temptations, the angels came and ministered to the Son of God, whose servants they were. Have you been swallowing Satan's lies? I don't have time to pray with and for my wife. I don't have time to read God's word with her. But Lord, make her holy and happy and fruitful as a woman. Or, I know it's wrong to, you fill in the blank yourself. I know it's wrong to, but afterwards God will forgive me. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. A member of a certain church was warned that he needed to flee. He needed to stay away from certain media and shows that fed his lusts. And he went straight out and watched an X-rated show. And this brother in Christ in the church went to him and spoke to him about it, spoke his concern about it. And the man said, well, I can't deny that I watched. I can't deny that I went, and I can't deny that I watched. But all the time I was praying, Lord, keep my eyes from beholding vanity. Well, in other words, Lord, let me play with fire. Don't let me get burned. Let me get as close to sin as I can, but deliver me from evil. Don't expect God to rescue you when you say, Father, I'm going to obey the devil, but keep me safe. There was a son of Christian parents who turned away from the faith and went into the military, was deployed, came back, got out of the military, and went to church with his parents. And there in church was a fine-looking young lady that he saw. So after one of the services, he went up to her and said, I wonder if you'd be willing to go out with me. And she said, no, I've heard you're not walking with the Lord, so no, I would not be willing to go out with you. A couple of weeks later, in this gospel preaching church, the young man heard the gospel. And after he heard the gospel, he went forward. He made a profession of faith. A couple months later, he went to the same lovely, good-looking young lady. And he said, would you go out with me? She thought, she said, well, I'll go out with you. I've heard of your recent profession of faith in Christ. You've turned to the Lord. Yes, I'd be willing to go out with you. So she went out with him, and they're sitting there in the car. And he wants to get familiar with her body. And she said, please turn on the light. And she said, you're a phony. She got the Bible out of her purse and read to him. Now, I don't know what passage it was she read. Maybe it was from 2 Timothy. Flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Maybe it was Ephesians 5:25, Charlie Kirk's favorite verse. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You're not giving yourself up for me. You're just living for your old self, young man. Maybe that's what she said. That's not love. That's selfishness. I'm not yours yet. But she, this young woman, she'd been reading her Bible. She'd been reading God's word. She'd been studying God's word. She'd been hearing the preaching of God's word. So she was ready. when temptation came. You know, in the days of the wooden sailing ships, in the days of the big brigs and the schooners, you could see sailors in the beautiful sunny harbor in San Diego. There they were in the nice sunshine of San Diego. And there they were, these sailors, preparing heavy clothes, getting out their mittens, sewing wool lining in shirts and coats, putting tar on their shirts, putting tar on their coats. Why? They're in a sunny harbor. That's because they were getting ready to go around the Horn, getting ready to go around South America. Their ship would be going around, sailing around South America, where there would be icy seas. There would be Arctic winds. Their ship would be covered with ice. And long before they hit those dangerous Arctic seas, they're getting ready. Are you in a sunny harbor right now? Put on your mittens. Put on that woolen lining into your coats. Put that waterproof tar on your coat. Put on the full armor of God. You might be able to stand in the evil day. The devil comes tempting you. And he says, you know, you're not Jesus. You know, he was the Son of God. He had resources that you don't have. So the Lord will understand if you give in a little bit, if you enjoy sin a little bit. And what do you say? You say, you're a liar, you old devil. Jesus did not use anything to fight temptation that he hasn't given to me. He used the Word of God. Three times Jesus says, it is written in the Word of God. It is written, it is said in the Word of God. And that's, oh, you old devil, that's why I read the Word of God. That's why I memorize the Word of God. That's why I come to church to hear the preaching of the Word of God, because I'm putting on Christ. I'm putting on Him who will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. The truth, the sword of the Spirit that comes from his mouth, slays the wicked, resists temptation. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. And I'm putting on this Jesus, in whom is the spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and strength, the spirit of the knowledge of the fear of the Lord. And so I'm putting on him. Putting on him. Putting on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Putting on the belt of truth. Putting on my feet. You know, it's the sword, offensive. Belt of truth, defensive. Good news of the gospel of peace on my feet, offensive. I'm taking the good news to a world that's broken and needs it. Like Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was asked by a man. The man said, if I have 30 seconds to live because I've just been shot and I'm dying of a gunshot wound, what would you tell me? And I quote, in 30 seconds you are about to meet eternal judgment. And there's only one way you can get bailed out of that. It's not all the good things you did, or the moral scorecard, or whether you've done your best. It's whether or not you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the only thing that's going to matter. You have a court date. We all die. We all have an appointment to meet the supreme judge of the universe. Justice is getting what you deserve, which is going to a not-so-good place. We are all sinners who fall short of the glory of God. But thanks to the cross of Christ, the perfect, loving God who came down in human form, in human flesh, who lived a perfect life and died for us that we could live forever. The gospel in four words is, Jesus took my place. The gospel in three words is, Him for me. The gospel in two words is substitutionary atonement. The gospel in one word is grace. Grace you cannot earn. Grace you do not pay for. It is grace given by a God who loves you and wants to spend eternity with you. The devil says, you've had pain. You've had troubles. God doesn't really care for you. But you say the Holy Spirit took Jesus into the wilderness. He took Jesus into the wilderness where he was tempted. He took Jesus into the wilderness because God does care, so that we would have a sympathizing Savior who is tempted in all aspects as you and I have been, and yet without sin. There is nowhere the Holy Spirit will lead me that Jesus has not been there before. Jesus felt the weight. Jesus felt the attractiveness. Jesus felt all the attractiveness of my temptations to their fullest extent, because, you know, I've given in here, and I've given in here, and I've given in here, but Jesus has experienced the temptations to the fullest extent and still resisted, and he's been through it all, and so he understands me, and he's able to help me. And so you take the word of God. You take the word of God and you stuff it in the old devil's mouth. And you say to him, there is no temptation which has overtaken man that's not common to man. There's no temptation that's overtaken me that is not common to my Lord Jesus. And God is faithful. And he will not allow me to be tempted beyond what he is able and what he will enable me to withstand. And with the temptation, he'll provide me a way of escape, a way out of it, that I may be able to endure it. And then you take Matthew 4, verse 11, and you say, you old devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You want my death. But God is a God of life, and he gives me a word of life with which to withstand you. The devil says, attack, destroy, murder the person who says you're sinning and makes you feel guilty. Get rid of that guilt feeling by murdering the person who's telling you the truth. But Jesus, he's the Lord of life. And Jesus' words are words of spirit and the words of life. Jesus says, I've come to give life and to give life abundant. For God loved the world this way, and that he sent his only begotten Son to be loaded with your guilt, your shame, your sin. That everyone looking to this Savior and trusting in him, their load would be transferred to him, and he suffers for it and takes that guilt upon himself, that you might be forgiven, that you might have everlasting life, that you might have life in fellowship with God. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have the smile of God upon you because you're in Jesus, who loved you and gave himself for you. And you're his forever. Let's pray. O death conqueror, O life giver, O living Lord, creator of men and women, boys and girls made in your image, thank you for your plan of redemption accomplished in Jesus. Forgive us, strengthen us, strengthen our confidence in you and your word that this week, wherever you take us, we might remember that you've gone before us and that you are with us and that your word is with us. And you will not leave us. And you will not forsake us. And by your Spirit, by your word, you will enable us to stand. Weak us, weak people, but you are mighty God. Grant us grace to stand. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.